Gia Tolentino is one of the most original voices writing today. She writes about culture, the internet, and feminism, and much more. Trick Mirror, her collection of essays from 2019, was a New York Times bestseller, and she was recently on our program along with Ronan Farrow, reporting on Britney Spears. Here's Gia.
So at the beginning of August, I flew to LA, my first work trip in what felt like a million years, to interview one of my favorite artists, this musician named Caroline Polachek. And, you know, I landed, took a COVID test, drove out to the Valley to this sort of anonymous warehouse space where Caroline was getting ready for her first live show in a year and a half.
I feel kind of beat up. It's been a long couple of days in rehearsal.
Yeah.
Especially in 6-inch heels. But yeah, today's going to be a big one.
I'm so excited to watch.
Yeah. The next day, she's set to play The Greek, which is, you know, venue with 6,000 capacity. It's this big, storied venue in LA. And when I walk in, you know, she's directing everybody. She's tweaking little things on the track. She's tweaking little bits of the percussion.
This is funny.
Oh, it looks amazing. I'm a fan of like individual strobes, but not like brrr, like machine gun strobes.
She's adjusting her hand gestures. She's adjusting the tiny little nuances in the tone of her vocal runs.
Say, something like that. Yep. Say. Which is one hand? Say. Should we run? I'm gonna break this up.
Caroline's been performing for a long time. When she was in college, she started the band Chairlift, which, you know, developed this very loyal following over the next decade, let's say. And in 2019, she released a solo album under her own name called Pang. Which was, I thought, one of the best albums of the year. Just this really bold, playful, you know, sonically progressive synth pop, kind of anchored by this incredible voice she has. The album was catching on, and she was set to play, you know, all of these huge venues, these big festivals in the summer of 2020. But then, of course, in March, everything shut down.
I think I should not do it because I can't do it as big as it needs to be done while singing.
Okay.
And so the energy at the rehearsal is super intense, right? Because she is, after 18 months of isolation, bigger than she's ever been, which is a strange experience to be in as a person, as an artist, certainly.
So one more time, just up to that break. You guys sound great.
The show at The Greek is going to be her first show back in a long time, but also everyone in the room, it's their first show back too. For most of the crew, for her band members, and for pretty much everyone in the audience, this would be their first big proper show back, myself included. And that's why I wanted to follow Caroline around this moment, because I had so much anticipation for the first show back. I had thought about this moment for so long, and I wondered what that would be like for a musician, right? For what it would be like from the other end to have not only the anticipation that I did, someone who wanted to be a part of it, but you as the performer would be the person responsible for creating this moment that everyone in the audience had wanted for so long.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you see me though?
When I first checked in with Caroline about a month before her show at The Greek, we started off by just kind of remembering what live music was like.
I saw Moza Sumney play at Public Records in Brooklyn, and I just so remember that as being like, already I was sort of looking around at the room being like, oh God, I might get COVID. And actually one of my friends did. Like, there was this brief period where we knew about COVID, but live music was still happening.
Well, I was actually surprised that my show on March 11th in London was even allowed to go on.
Right.
And, you know, the mood in the room that night was intense. Like, I think everyone knew that was going to be the last thing like that mm-hmm. that any of us went to. And there was just this really heightened sense of presence in the room because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the last show, and it felt precious and a little bit dangerous because of that.
Exactly.
Was it hard to accept that, you know, getting to tour this record that was having a pretty massive response to it, not being able to, was that something that you had to continually sort of speak to yourself about, or was it something that you made your peace with early?
Well, I guess I had two main feelings with it. One is that I'm always, always living in this feeling of like disbelief where I can't believe I actually get to do this for a sure. living. And it feels like a magic spell that will break at any moment.
Sure.
So when the shows got pulled away from me, there was this feeling of like, oh, of course they did, because that was mm-hmm. never going to happen in the first place. There's no way that was actually real. And then on the other side, I was watching a lot of my peers release albums during the peak of the pandemic, and the deep, deep frustration and sadness that comes with, you know, only being able to push new music out through the like glowing square of Instagram seemingly. Right. Or of YouTube, and not having that connection. So the more distance I got from the top of lockdown, the more grateful I was that I even did manage to make a connection with people in the room when I did, because mm-hmm. I felt like it really counted.
What did you specifically miss the most about performing? What are the specific moments that you kind of most long to have again?
Well, I guess I am not very disciplined as a vocalist. You know, I hear stories about people who like don't smoke, don't drink, go to bed at 8 p.m., like, you know, hydrate in a really regular way. I am so undisciplined.
That's so surprising to me.
Well, I mean, I do go into like boot camp mode, and I'm about to start next week when I know I have to perform again. But that's one thing I do miss about being on tour, is that my voice is in shape and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spent a lot of this year really vocally out of shape because mm-hmm. I haven't had to be. And it always scares me because there's always this feeling like, oh, what if I can't get it back?
What's that going to be like when you start getting your voice back into shape, boot camp wise? What does that look like?
Well, it's going to start with just doing practices by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just singing the songs over the instrumentals just by myself.
Mm.
And then for phase two, I'll move into kind of rehearsing with my band. And then for phase three, rehearsing with my band whilst also running around, because that's a whole other cardio thing where, like, if you're not in shape with your cardio, you get out of breath. And if you're out of breath, you can't sing properly.
Right.
So it's vocal warm up, it's arrangement, and then it's performance.
So I think it still works. Remember to make that bigger. Just the wrist part.
Bunny's a rock. Bunny's a rock.
Yeah,
it's gonna go faster. Yeah. Bunny's a rock. Bunny's a rock. Bunny's a rock.
So all day at that rehearsal before the show with the Greek, you know, there's so many moving parts, and we finally got to talk for a little bit of time in the back of her manager's car.
Wish we could have gotten two runs of the set, but
that wouldn't have been possible.
How did today feel to you? Like, how's the...
Today felt great. I mean, mostly just hoping for my voice to get to relax tonight so I can really have the control I want to have tomorrow. It's been pretty beat up the last couple of days, so I just need to let it...
I am amazed at just watching, you know, part of a day, like all of the runs. You know, I was going to ask you if there were specific moments where listeners might think it was an effect, but it's actually you. But listening to you rehearse, I was like, oh, it's almost always, it is just your voice. Like,
it is.
It's like always.
It always is. Yeah.
I've never
performed through tuner.
Yeah.
To be fair, this was the first show I was ever tempted to do it because I felt like I couldn't live up to my own standards of singing Bunny as a Rider live, mostly just because I'm kind of out of breath and moving. Mm. But I kind of had a realization yesterday, like, I can trust that everyone of the Greek is going to be turned.
Yeah.
And that they will be helping me.
Yeah.
And I will not be singing by myself.
Do you, what do you, this is like kind of a simplistic question, but like, what do you hope for tomorrow? What do you hope for?
I hope for time to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that, like, I can feel so present and enjoy it, and I hope that I can be surprised. I know I will be just surprised by the crowd's antics, mm-hmm. and that the music can feel it and reverberate, that can reverberate in the music, and everyone can, me and the band included, can really enjoy the kind of scale of mm-hmm. everyone being together.
Mm-hmm. We're all going to cry. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it.
Same. I'd actually had to rehearse, vividly imagine the crowd, because I, as Sarah will tell you, I just kept breaking down in dance rehearsal.
Really? What was it about that dance in particular?
Well, it was when we were rehearsing the walk-on.
Gotcha.
And I would imagine everyone there, and I was just like, God, I have to miss this.
Yeah.
We've all missed this.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, what else am I hoping for? I just want to have fun.
I know.
I really want to have fun.
The day of the show, it was really, the day of the show was just really exciting. You know, I was bringing one of my best friends who I had last seen, you know, in February 2020, a friend that I've been going to shows with since I was 16. The Greek is in the foothills of Griffith Park, and it's up this big hill, and the sunset is pink, and everyone is sort of walking up the hill, politely wearing their masks, but also wearing kind of full looks for each other. When I first imagined going to the show, honestly, I thought that I would be writing about it as this moment of straightforward, glorious catharsis, right? The beginning of the final reopening, right? We're free, we're vaccinated, like, we're back, baby. And that was not the case. I spent the entire time being like, am I getting COVID right now? Am I getting Delta? You know, we are going to be living with the variants for a while. And I think it means that if we are going to go do something, right, if we're going to go travel for someone's wedding, if we're going to go to a public event, it's got to be something that means something to us. I always have that moment at a live show in some way where, you know, suddenly you kind of dissociate and you're just kind of amazed at the fact of physical presence. I mean, this is like the main purpose of being alive, is being around other people and having something jolt you into remembering that it's kind of amazing that you get to be. You know when you hear the orchestra tune up before like a play or a ballet or something, and it's like that exact mixed chord is the sound of the anticipation? For me, I had forgotten exactly what that moment is like when someone walks on stage. I had forgotten what applause sounded like, right? It sounds so silly, but it felt, you know, to feel other people's joy in the vibrations of my body. I forgot how much I love that moment of the show where the show itself is still pure potential and everyone is just sort of faces turned to the stage, like ready to be stunned.
The New Yorker's Gia Tolentino. She spoke with Caroline Polachek, who's playing shows all over the country this fall in Phoenix, Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta, and much more. What cannot destroy for?